There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, and it is on the road at Battleship Memorial Park. We are at the gift shop, if you're going to come by. I figured it wasn't worth squealing the rubber on the tires the whole way up the walkway up onto the USS Alabama. But, you know, we'll see. I think Tom Claxton is okay with the Scuttlebutt Boys doing it here at ground level, and we'll talk about this with the executive director of Battleship Memorial Park and the General, Janet Cobb. So you thought it was not good for me to drag race NHRA my way up?
I think, Sean, you know, at the beginning of the summer, you know, it was dry. Y'all could putt up there.
Right.
And the big front yard where we do lacrosse and youth soccer and
right.
Battleship rugby, it was dead. But now I think the LIV Golf Tour wants to play out there with all the green, except, you know, all the water hazards. We're grateful for the rain that the good Lord sends us. But we're... I'm more comfortable. I'm an Army girl, you know. I'm down on the ground now.
Right.
That ship thing still takes some getting used to.
I don't know. I think you've become accustomed to it.
It's awesome.
It is awesome. And as people drive by, because there's so much to talk about here I want to get into, but as people drive by and they see the awning, the covering on the Alabama, what's going on underneath there?
Well, I tell them we're having a big party.
Okay, good. That's going to be a big party. That's a long tent. Yeah.
Actually, I'm happy to tell you, we flipped the script. The tent was on the starboard or the right side of the ship. This is the three-year, $8.5 million teak deck replacement project for the main deck. And we're on the port of the left side now and doing that same work. And I invite you to go up this afternoon and walk that new teak section over on the right side.
I peeked. Last time I was here, there's a little bit that was, it was on the starboard, but it was like in front, towards the front, and it was really good looking. I peeked in there through the, obviously a lot more has been done here. I guess we need to back up if somebody has not heard about this project. The teak being replaced on the USS Alabama is how old?
It was probably laid down in 40, 41. They laid the keel in 40. So it's a, now remember, this is Burmese forest teak, so the age of the teak is actually much older than that. It's been on the deck since probably 41.
Yo, I mean, take that into account for a second. So, obviously it had to be cut down and milled beforehand.
That's right.
So it had that time to dry and all that. So it's put on the deck on 41. And that is what the sailors walked on throughout the Atlantic and Pacific theater for USS Alabama.
That's right. And then all the years, 47 to 62, when she was dry docked up at Bremerton, Washington, then she came back here, and then she's been sitting out here, and she's gone through Camille, Frederick, all the minor storms, Ivan, Katrina, and the wear and tear on the deck, we're happy to see, because it means our thousands and hundreds of thousands of visitors every year are walking the deck and reliving history.
And I'm just going Burmese teak, right? Because that's long-lasting. If I'm looking for something that's going to last in the house.
Exactly.
So you're pulling that up. You're putting the new teak down. And this question, I can't. If I don't ask you this, then people tell me that I'm not doing my job.
Yeah.
So, General, when will there be a chance for us that are such a fan of the Alabama and such a fan of where we live to keep buy a piece of this teak, part of the Alabama?
My staff's working on a merchandising plan now. They're contacting a number of companies that do this similar thing for other historic naval ships. We're part, as you know, of the Historic Naval Ships Association. There are a number of things that can be done, but in addition, people do want to buy pieces and lengths of the teak for different things to do their own wood turning, memorial plaques, things of that nature. So we'll talk with the commission about that Friday at their meeting,
okay. And
hopefully in the next month or so, we'll have that that plan ready so that we can roll that out to the public. And all that money, of course, will go to help defray that $8.5 million.
Yeah, that's... And and what an opportunity to own something that's so important, so integral to what we do right here, plus the history of our nation. Mm-hmm. I was just telling you off the air, I'd finished a new studio build at the station. And
got a teak floor?
Oh, my gosh, would I love to have some of the teak from the Alabama in there. Also, speaking of the deep history of the USS Alabama, okay, now I am looking at this. This is, I think it was on y'all's Facebook page as well, a comic book that was found on the... Explain what we're looking at here.
Yeah, my curator, Shay McLean, and his staff found this on eBay. It is a 1944 edition of Batman from October, very full of war-related Batman adventures. And on the very back cover is an ad. I love old commercial advertising, but on the back cover of that magazine, which, by the way, you can buy on eBay for about $2,200, is an old Baby Ruth candy bar ad of a sailor getting some cookies from a girl behind him, a jealous girl. So just some neat things of the time. There are things secreted and squirreled away on the ship. Our folks that work on the drum, Tom Bowser and Leslie Waters, have found things stuck in different areas of the submarine. You wouldn't think there would be that many hidey holes, but imagine that on a battleship. We find things all the time.
Okay, well, so, I mean, things you find, I mean, this thing right here is from 44.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all find, I mean, so the sailors were trying to hide something away, or, you know, keep it from somebody else, and
it could have been some
or fallen
sailor
behind
on
something?
His rack looking at that, and the chief's walking through looking for somebody for a duty detail, and he crammed that thing, and most of it's fallen apart. But those couple of sheets are legible.
So, but this came from where did it come from?
I didn't ask Shay that. I'm not sure. It would have probably been in one of the berthing compartments, but it could have been in a duty station and somebody watching tending the boiler or in the electrical shop or in the carpenter shop.
So, I mean, if somebody goes, can they look at the picture I'm looking at here, can they see this on the Facebook page for Battleship Memorial Park, or where can they look at what we're looking at?
These were photographs that my curator sent to my email account.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if that's been posted, but I'll check with Rhonda Davis, our sales and marketing director. I think it'd be a neat thing to put up there
for people to look at. And this is somebody, I mean, to think about the sailor that had his hands on this, and then we pick it up all these decades later.
And we identified it because on eBay, that edition is selling on eBay for, like I said, $2,200 plus, apparently a rare Batman comic. And you can, of course, if you were to purchase that, you could see all the pages. And this is pretty crinkled up, but still they were able to track that much info down on it.
This is too neat. Y'all got to check this out. And I know when we're out here, too, we're going to be talking about living history drills
and
what's going on. Yeah, and this is something that I tell people every time I talk to them, even away from here. I say, you got to go do this. But why do they have to go do this? Why am I so psyched up about this? Why do I like it so much?
You know, those of us that like history, we a lot of times we'll just read about it. But here, you walk on the deck and you see it. But this group, our living history crew, volunteers, they're military reenactors. Some of them do other periods of history. But they come, they have a crew on the drum, the submarine. They have a crew on the Alabama. Some of our heroes that are volunteer pilots that fly Soviet-era Yak aircraft, propeller-driven aircraft out of the Irvington area, they come and dive-bomb the ship. Our reenactors are dressed in World War II costume or, you know, uniform as Marines, or the Marine Detachment, or as sailors. They fire these 20-millimeter deck cannon that the Oerlikon machine guns, 40-millimeter Bofors, a lot of sound effects, a lot of noise.
Yes, it's so
as
cool.
That plane comes in, and it just gives you an idea of what it was like to see those enemy aircraft. And they'll be way up. They'll dive out of the sun. They do some of the replica formations, and it is really something to see. And then that night, the radio gang division will be doing a luau on the fantail, and I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, they do that usually after the August drill, and it's a nice night under the stars, and some good pulled pork, and we'll be wearing our Aloha Hawaiian shirts and enjoying some camaraderie. These folks, they bring us a lot of business, and they do it because of the love of the reenactment. Now, these folks berth overnight. They live the life on the ship. And
right.
They're
fully in character.
They are.
So if somebody comes up here, we've talked about this before, to have this experience and the time to get, I mean, there's so much to see here at Battleship Memorial Park, but kind of, you've always given me like the pro tip of what time they should get here, what time they should do this.
It's no different than the first day of school, early. I'd get here about 11 or 11:30, get a place to park, get in the pavilion, get your tickets, do a little touring around, visit the gift shop, and then the actual deck drills start about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And weather permitting, the aircraft will fly, and it'll all be depending on Mother Nature and the good Lord as far as what that weather's going to do.
You hear that, Dr. Bill? We need your help here.
Yeah, Dr. Bill.
We need your help here. I would, as you see, as I opened this, already all the people asking about the Teakwood. So this, once again, this meeting is happening Friday.
Well, we'll just brief the commission an update that we're getting merchandisers ready because we want to have some things that we can have made for sale, instant sale presentation.
Okay.
Let's say it's a challenge coin. Let's say it's an ink pen. But a lot of people like to do their own wood turning. So people want just pieces of the teak so they can create their own memorial. And that will all be available. So
I can't imagine the different ways people will utilize it. You know, it's going to be neat.
Yeah.
It almost would be like, hey, if you're getting this teak and you're going to do something with it other than just laying it back down, here's an email address. Send a picture when you're finished, because I imagine the creativity of people in having this and to honor the Alabama and those who served on it.
When I came here in December of 15, we still had a very small supply of the original deck teak that would have been in maybe 10, 12, 15, 16 foot lengths. When they brought the USS Montgomery and she was commissioned here, some of their chiefs and sailors came over to see if we had any teak that they could use to build the USS Montgomery Bell stand. And we had one or two timbers that they used. So when you see the USS Montgomery sailing, she's got that some of that Alabama timber holding up her bell.
Well, that's fantastic. I never knew that.
Yeah.
So just another way our community touches that ship. Once again, for online, if they want to get more information about Living History Drill or pictures of what's going on here, best go to Facebook, or where do you go? Good website directly?
Our Facebook page, website, it's probably on Instagram. You know, I'm not the queen of social media. I let my heroes in marketing do that. But check our Facebook page out, website, USSAlabama.com, Instagram, and come see us.
Absolutely. General, as always, I appreciate our time out here.
My pleasure.
Thanks for having us back out. And don't get mad at those Marines that are out there.
Hey, they're my brothers. I'll handle them.
You put them in the brig, right?
I will. Yeah. Claxton's already in the brig.
All right, good. This is my kind of show.
Thanks, Sean.
Hey, thank you. Coming right back, more Midday Mobile. Coming up at 12:35, AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl joins us. Lots to talk about with the Congressman. And we'll get to your calls and texts when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, we're doing it live from Battleship Memorial Park. It's Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. Coming up in just about 10, a little more than 10 minutes, AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl joins us. Right now, I want y'all to say hello to my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars, and let's talk about what's happening at the lot. Hey, David.
Hey, man. We got a lot happening. We got a couple of gas savers in. I got a little 15 Chevrolet Trax came in this morning. We got a little 17 Volkswagen Jetta. We got a Hyundai Elantra 2018. I also have a neat little gizmo. You'd like this one. It's a Key Largo 161 bay boat with a Suzuki outboard. It's a 2019 boat motor and trailer, and it's like stinking new.
You got my attention. Yeah, and I think a lot of people, too. So we can come get the vehicle to pull it and the boat to go behind it.
Absolutely.
Let's talk
and we'll
financing.
The whole thing.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. If we're going to buy all this, if I'm getting a truck and a boat, let's talk about my financing options.
Financing. We've got financing rates that are on boats that are as good or better than cars. So you can go longer term sometime on a boat, depending on what year it is. Motorhomes, travel trailers, we can get all that stuff financed for you. You just got to come out and give us an opportunity.
All right, well, tell folks how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. Give us a call, 251-375-0068, or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day.
Hey, you too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. Yeah, a lot of teak text. Can I say a teak text? That coming in, and believe me, I've been harassing the crew here from the General Cobb to Curator Shay McLean and everybody in between about this teak. Like they said, we're now getting closer to having some ideas about this, but they are going to be at some level. You heard the general saying that they're going to be selling it. And yes, like so many of y'all on the text line, I want it too. I mean, I would love to have just, you know, part of our studio at FM Talk 106.5 with Teak from the deck of the Alabama. To me, that feels just as genuine and awesome as we can. I also found out during the news break that my friend and coworker Leanna has a family member that served on the Alabama. So I think people like that need to get ahead of me even in line, even though I'll just constantly harass the folks here for the Teak. But yeah, they will be selling it, and I think it'll be, you know, like I know Panini Pete, and I talked about it. He wants to put some in one of his restaurants. So yeah, there's a lot of people, believe me, as soon as the news comes out, you know, whenever it is, if it's in a month or a year about doing this, I will make sure everybody knows with FM Talk 106.5. Bill says you can probably find an ad for X-ray specs in that comic book. Probably can, Bill. It's really cool. So they found pieces of this comic in the Alabama. It's Batman. So like somebody was reading it, it got behind a bunk or something like that. I'm just guessing how it got, you know, lost. But it's Batman from October 1944. Can you imagine the sailor with everything that they were facing, reading a comic book laying in the bunk there? What a big deal that was to have any kind of entertainment. Yeah, people are talking about they want Teak for furniture, Teak for frames. Yes, believe me, I'll let you know when this becomes available. All right, a couple things before we get to our conversation with Congressman Carl that's coming up in after the news break. A couple questions on now in the aftermath of Mar-a-Lago Monday, and y'all saw us here. Do you think that there's any change? Former President Trump had said in so many words, I think, that he was going to run. Not officially, but do you think this moves him up to announce before the midterms, which I know there are some people in the Republican establishment don't want to have happen? Does this move up an announcement that he's running? I think if you're trying to play defense against whatever may or may not come out of DOJ, I think that would be a good political move. He's fundraising off it, doing all this, but at the same time, it would help, I think, your argument that, you know, you're trying to be hamstrung, right, to keep you from running again. So, and another thing, listen, today, and we go rehash everything, but it's been hashed a bunch over the last couple of days, but on the documents, that they're saying that that former President Trump took, and I heard that they hurriedly, you know, in the last few days of the White House were packing things into boxes, didn't know what he had, these kind of things. If there were documents in there, if this goes back to the fact that it's something for the January 6th Commission to look at, for example, why wouldn't he have destroyed those documents beforehand, right? If there was no record exactly of what, you know, and the president can say what's classified and not classified while they're still the president. If he was keeping things he thought were, you know, if you believe that, you know, that's the idea here, that there's some kind of smoking gun, the documents, I don't know why he wouldn't have destroyed them beforehand. And it was interesting to see, too, that so DOJ had gone before, back in June, gotten documents out of Mar-a-Lago, and they did it that time without a warrant. And then they come back for it. And, I asked this question yesterday of Todd Stacey and I think even of Sheriff Cochran. Did they actually ask for the other documents before the raid took place? And that's not rhetorical. I really would like to know. I mean, if they had come before without the warrant, gotten documents, did they specifically say, hey, we need to come get the rest of those documents? Did they ask for that before they did the raid on Monday night? It's a question here, because I just want to know, did it need to happen that way? Because let's say there's something to this, that there is a document, there are documents that are, you know, that were there at Mar-a-Lago that were confidential, classified documents they needed to get back. Did they just ask for them before they did the raid? And we'll talk about that and a whole lot more with AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl joins us next right here on Midday Mobile. We're live from Battleship Memorial Park. Come see us.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5, and it's Midday Mobile. We are live at Battleship Memorial Park. Big thank you, as always, for General Cobb and the crew here for having us out. And then at 1 o'clock today, Scuttlebutt Radio Network, Tom and Cal, and a show for veterans by veterans on the air from 1 to 2. And that happens here in just a little bit. As I said before we went to the news break, joined now by our Congressman, AL1's Jerry Carl. Thank you for your time, Congressman.
Hey, Sean. How are you doing, sir?
Man, I'm here at the I'm here right next to USS Alabama doing a radio show, so I'm great.
Well, I'm up in Axis, Alabama at Lansing doing a plant tour, so we've caught it a little gap in the weather here, so we're able to get out and learn these jobs and what we can do to help and influence.
Now, let's talk about that for a second. When y'all are out, because I know that y'all are getting ready to go back, but I think the Senate went out for back on the 5th. When you come back to the district, what is that pacing like? I mean, what do you do when you're home?
We try to get as much crammed in as we possibly can. Businesses that we try to get plant tours. We try to sit down with local business people. We also do town hall meetings. We have constituents that may have particular issues that they want to talk to us about. You know, it may be health care. It could be a number of things. But we stay busy. I mean, when we're back in the district, we are working. Those of us that want to be reelected are. The worst thing you can do is, you know, take the month off and go do something. So we're busy. I speak for myself. My staff keeps me very busy.
All right, let's talk about some of the bigger stories nationally, and then we can also bring it back home. But what happened Monday night at Mar-a-Lago? The raid, FBI goes and executes a search warrant on former President Trump's house in Florida. Your reaction to it?
That's probably one of the dumbest political moves I've ever seen in my life. The timing could not have been any better for the Republican Party. I think it's going to stir that Republican base up that kind of probably took a few things for granted. Now they understand what they're fighting for or fighting against. So it's going to stir them up to get out and vote. What the FBI did, I'm one of these people, I've never trusted federal government much. And I don't mean that sarcastically. I honestly believe that. The FBI has been one group as a whole. And I know we've got some great people that have served in the FBI. I've never really trusted the FBI. So they've gotten so much worse, what we see coming out of this administration. And even during the Trump administration, it was some pretty ugly stuff. So what happened, so I understand, they basically let a librarian tell them that they need to take warrants and storm the president's residence and get back some books that are overdue. And that's the story we are led to believe. I don't believe it. I believe there's more to it than that. But we'll see. We will see. I'll tell you one way to fix it. That's November. People better get out and vote. And I do mean in Alabama, too. Everybody needs to get out and vote. They need to send a loud message to these elected officials. And don't believe elected official in South Alabama is not watching a race in Washington State. I watched that race last night, how it came out. We all are watching races and trying to figure out how that affects us and our district. So I encourage everyone, please get out and vote. Show them what you think.
Okay. In the shorter term here, I just got, you've got, you know, you said the librarian calling for the books back, but I wonder this, and I don't know if with your access or if you could give any more insight to this, but I know the DOJ came in June instead and got some of the documents. And I know this sounds like a hayseed question, but I've asked it for 2 days. Did the DOJ in this case ask again? And were they denied? I was wondering if this was necessary. I mean, if there's the Presidential Records Act from 1978 that says you got to give these records back to the archive, then that's the law. I'm a rule of law kind of person. But was the former president asked to give these back and said, I just don't understand. Obviously, I understand the political reason for it. But if they're going to explain away the academic reason on why you needed to raid the Mar-a-Lago versus just asking, you know, to meet up and get the documents.
So understand, this is what I understand. Whether it's complete truth or not, I don't know. What I understand is 15 boxes in question. In those 15 boxes is not all top secret information. It's not. He had a lot of personal stuff mixed in there also. Mar-a-Lago is set up with a skiff, and that is a facility that we go into when they want to share, you know, the secrets that we can't talk about. So these boxes were exactly where they were supposed to be. When they did do that review there several months ago, they did encourage them to lock them up, so they had another lock system put in place. So they knew they were there because they had already gone through them. They didn't seize them then. They went through them. And their response was, there's nothing really damaging there to the country, so they were going to be patient and let the president go through it. The president has not gone through them. So they show up with a warrant and go in and take them, you know, with 30 or 40 agents. I mean, it's just such a hard, bad image. And I don't care who the president is. You don't treat an ex-president that way. I mean, you respect the office. Good Lord, respect the office. You don't have to respect the person, but do respect the office. And I think this is where so much of our political base, it's just beginning to fall apart. We don't respect the office anymore. I mean, my office, I watch elected officials in mine, and they get on the floor and just show their rear ends. And I get mad, and I want to tell them, just respect the office. You're not doing anybody any good getting out there talking that trash. So time will tell, and I don't know that we'll ever know the real truth. I do know that McCarthy has already put Jim Jordan on notice that in January this will be followed up on. You know, they're going to go through the FBI. They don't shut the FBI down, but there's going to be a cleansing of the FBI in this next administration. I'll assure you that.
Well, I think, you know, you got to...
That's not a threat. That's just what I know that they're putting together.
Well, I think there'd be a lot of Americans supportive of that. At the same time, I know that I may be a minority opinion in this, but among some conservatives, or at least people I talk to, but this idea of, okay, when, you know, after the midterms and Republicans are back in control, and then down the road, that do the same things, you know, send raids on houses for Democrats out there, I would... In my opinion, Congressman, I understand the gut reaction to this, but to start this back and forth thing, it brings down our republic.
You and I've had this conversation before. That's the last position I want to be in. You know, I don't want to get even. You know, to get even is for suckers. There's no such thing as even. But the American people are demanding some answers. That's what we've got to get. We have got to get some answers. So if we don't do that, I promise you, in 2 years, a lot of these congressmen will not be in office. Now, I don't want to spend the next 2 years focused on this, like the Democrats have pretty much done. It's not a good image for the country. It's not going to achieve what our goals are, and our goals to get our country back. Our goal is to get the economy back running right. Our goal is to get inflation under control and get some pricing down. So we can't do that by chasing every rabbit that runs in front of us. So we've got to pick the areas. That's Jim Jordan's expertise. So let Jim do that. Let Jerry go do what Jerry does. We can't all be focused in doing that.
Well, something that Jerry does, Congressman, you've been talking about this new funding for how many IRS agents to be added to the mix?
7,000. I keep using it. The numbers keep going up because it was 78,000 when the bill was originally put together. And obviously through the change in moving money around, now it's up to 87,000. The IRS sent us a statement to our office assuring us that they were not going to audit anybody under $400,000, which I just found absolutely hilarious. I asked them, let's by all means keep a copy of it. I might even frame it and hang it up in my office, because we all know that is not, and that will not, be the truth. Because with 87,000 more people looking, you're going to see people falling under the microscope that have never been there before. You know, the average person's never had an IRS audit. They don't understand what the IRS can do. When they seize everything you own and you have no money to pay your bills, you'll understand the power the IRS has got. When they can come in and go through your records without any type of a warrant, you'll understand how much power the IRS has got. So to empower 87,000 more is that's scary. That is scary. And yeah, also we've been quietly watching. Well, some of us have been quiet, but we've been watching them. They're stockpiling ammunition. Why does the IRS need to be stockpiling ammunition?
Well, help me with that, Congressman, because that I get those emails all the time. You know, I say all the time with some regularity. I get those emails, and Sean, do you know about this? And this has started some time ago. So I have a question there. Yeah, what is there? I mean, I know that I guess some IRS agents carry, but I mean, do they qualify and have to go through ammunition? What's the story on that? I mean, can you find
Sean,
out? Can you ask?
I'm gonna mess myself up, but I think in 2020. There were only 7 discharges firearmed by the IRS, and all 7 of them were in office. They were accidental discharges.
I've heard the same.
I guess that's loading and unloading. I can understand they work in some situations that might require some protection because they get in some pretty tense moments. But to stockpile ammunition, again, You're telling the American public either A, we're stockpiling to fight you, or B, we know there's going to be problems down the road and we're going to have to defend the IRS. Well, the IRS works for us. The IRS, though, is much like the Postal Service. They're much like, they manage themselves. There's no true oversight committee that tells them what to do and not to. So the weapons, the firearms, is scary. I assume they're licensed, you know, properly trained. Let's assume that. And I'm sure there's some fine people work for the IRS. But I, for one, have been audited several times, and I know what bullies they can be. Well, I talked to a lady the other day. She's been unaudited for 3 years, and what she was audited on was a check that she deposited. The check she deposited was for $600. Someone at the IRS put it in as $6,000, so it threw all of her numbers off, and she's been 3 years trying to get that corrected.
Congressman, that's what I want to get into, because if we're going to add agents, I heard you talk about it, you know, at Dan and Dalton the other morning, and I could add my story when I had my identity stolen, gosh, a decade and something to go. The frustration when I finally got to somebody at the IRS, I had a person that was good, but it took me weeks and weeks and weeks, and then it was frustrating because I could figure out. I mean, I had a Google image picture of the house of the person in Cheyenne, Wyoming that stole my identity. But then it was still a year of something of going through this, you know, process to try to say, hey, that wasn't me who filed. If we're going to add agents, what about service? What about Americans being able to have some clarity to the tax code, pick up a phone and say, hey, I got this problem. You know, it was $600 and y'all said it was $6,000 or something like that. But if they're going to add people, how about some people that serve the people they work for? Like you said, the American people.
Well, the problem with the IRS is like so many other government agencies. What someone tells you is their opinion. You can't hold them responsible for that. And every time you call, you're going to get a different person. So it's going to boil down to interpretation. And we have this problem with Medicare. I've been dealing with Medicare my entire life. So when you get an agent on the phone and they tell you, okay, this is what you need to do, and you do it and it comes back to you, it didn't work. Well, the next phone call, you get a totally different person who goes, I don't know who told you that, but that's wrong. This is the way you need to be doing it. That's the problem with the IRS. I think if we went to a straight flat tax, well, we paid it at the cash register, you know, where we didn't do all of this, I think it would be so much simpler. So much simpler. I doubt we're going to see that. Hey, I want to compliment you and change the subject here real quick. Last week, I heard you on the radio talking about the food program. The young lady from, 1892? What's the
1819 News? 1819news.com?
Yes. And y'all were criticizing the congressman in this state for not speaking more about the free lunch program and what the Biden administration is doing to that.
Right.
And I felt I felt very small. And I appreciate you doing that. And when you did that, I immediately started calling my folks. We have done a horrible job getting that message out. But we have been focused, and from your conversation on the radio, it spurred me to follow up on what we have been doing. But we have been working on that. And obviously,
good.
Marshall has done a great job himself, our Attorney General, State Attorney General. He's done a fantastic job. And we're all fighting it. And basically boils down to the definition. They want our schools to get the children to identify their gender. And we don't need that. I don't need a six-year-old telling me what their gender is.
If they want to fight, if y'all want to fight it out in Washington, Congressman, that's one thing. But kids, they're not getting their lunches because that's going on politically is unacceptable to me.
I totally agree. I think that the lunch program in the state of Alabama or in Mobile County school system, everyone qualifies for it. I don't know how that happened. It might be overused in some instances, but you know, my wife and my daughter and my daughter-in-law, all three school teachers, and they'll all three tell you the same thing. That's the only meal those kids get during the day. That is it. That's the only balanced meal they're going to have, period, because they're not going to get it at home. So if they're going to learn, they can't learn on an empty stomach. So we've got to defend that. We've got to keep looking at it. We've got a bill that's coming up that we have signed off on that will ask the USDA to take that clause out. I think they'll do it. I think it's political suicide because we're not the only state that's involved in this that wants that little clause taken out. So we think they're going. We hope they do. From a political standpoint, it makes sense. But I appreciate the issues that you bring up on your radio program and how you hold us responsible. And I thank you for that.
I appreciate that, Congressman. And I'm way over time, but let me, with you saying that, let me say this as we conclude. One of the yes votes on the PACT Act here in the state of Alabama, you talked with me right after it happened and talked about what you thought some of the worries were for, you know, our senators and others that didn't vote for it. But it's now law, and it's going to be, I imagine, a good thing for veterans in Alabama. Would you agree with that?
I agree. There's no doubt about it. From a taxpayer standpoint, was where my concern was. I met with a man yesterday, 40 years in the Army. He was getting ready to go get tested for it. He was all excited, and you know, I was excited with him. But the cost of it, we haven't got a feel for yet. So that was my only concern. So we'll see. I mean, it's law now, so let's work with it. Let's take care of our veterans, period. And just like I told you, there's no one. Even people that voted against this, what they wanted to do was to carry it over into January when they had a say-so in how it was written. Because it's pretty loosely written.
There
so
we go.
With that, I voted for it. I'm comfortable with that vote. I'll support my vote. And God bless our troops. We can't do enough.
Well said.
About taking care of our troops.
Absolutely, and the sacrifices made by families just like yours. So, Congressman, I appreciate that, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Sean. God bless you. Take care.
All right, there he is, AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, and welcome back. Midday Mobile, and we are here at Battleship Memorial Park. Scuttlebutt Radio Network coming on in just a few minutes. Right now, I got to check in with my friend Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and find jewelry and get an update, first of all, on precious metals. Hey, Angelo.
Yeah, gold and silver right now are still climbing a little bit. Gold's hovering right around 1,800. Silver's in that 2075-ish range, trying to get towards 21. So, like we had predicted a few weeks ago, we're going to have a little bit of a run back up, and it's doing pretty much what we expected.
All right. On another front, man, after we had talked last week, I had two people, boom, boom, on that free appraisals thing. One was for a watch. I think one was for a piece of jewelry. Explain to folks what that is, how that works.
Yeah, we were actually doing one. We're still doing one, in between calls here. You bring your stuff in. We go through it, evaluate it, tell you what it's worth in the current market conditions. You decide whether you're going to keep it, whether you're going to sell it, split it up between the family members. And there is zero cost on that for you, none. So it's a great service. At the very least, we all need to know what our stuff is worth. You may need to get it insured. You may need to put it in the safe. You may not need to put it in the safe. And unless you know what it's worth in the current market, how are you going to do that?
Very good. You're going to do it by coming to see y'all. Give folks directions.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street, online, mobilebaycoins.com. You can check us out on Facebook or on Instagram. And, of course, every Tuesday night right here on FM Talk 106.5 with two guys and some change.
As always, I enjoy our conversations. Angelo, I will see you soon.
Looking forward to it. See you, buddy.
There he is. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Yeah, the place on that appraisal thing, too, have two family members that have used that that service from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. If you got to insure something, you got to figure out what things are worth. If you have a, you know, a will and estate and all that kind of stuff, great place to go. All right, I'm going to be here, but I'm going to be watching some of my favorite Marines. Not there before I get calls from other Marines. Two of my favorite Marines here. There's a bigger group of y'all. Do the Scuttlebutt Radio Network. That's on the way next, right here on FM Talk 106.5.